Radio Prague News.
Czech President Miloš Zeman has criticized the European Union for trying to interfere in the internal affairs of the Visegrad Group states. The Visegrad Group is divided on EU sanctions against Russia, and Czechs are voting in the second round of Senate elections. Czech President Miloš Zeman has criticized the European Union for trying to interfere in the internal affairs of the Visegrad Group states. Speaking at the close of a two-day summit of the presidents of Slovakia, the Czech Republic, Hungary and Poland in the High Tatras on Friday, President Zeman said this alienated the countries in question and led to new divides in Europe. Meanwhile, Slovak President Andrej Kiska, who hosted the summit, said individual EU member states should listen to each other more and work towards mutual understanding, since each of them had its history, its problems, and in many respects also a different view of the European Union. He stressed that in the face of differences, the Visegrad Group heads of state should be more vocal in stating their allegiance to the European Union, and all members should work to prevent a new division of Europe into East and West. The presidents of Slovakia and Poland defended the EU sanctions against Russia as justified. Speaking at a press briefing following the Visegrad Group summit, Slovak President Andrej Kiska said the EU could not remain indifferent to the 2014 annexation of Crimea, which was a blatant violation of international law, and said he welcomed the fact that EU members had acted in unity in enforcing sanctions. Polish President Andrzej Duda also said the sanctions were fully justified. Czech President Zeman, who is one of the most vocal opponents of the sanctions and who has repeatedly called for them to be lifted, made no comment, saying sanctions had not been on the agenda of the meeting. Hungarian President János Áder likewise refrained from commenting on the issue. Czechs in 25 constituencies go to the polls to cast their ballot in a second round of senatorial elections on Friday and Saturday. The vote in two constituencies where candidates won over 50% of voter support has already been decided. The elections to a third of seats in the Senate will decide which fractions will have a majority in the upper chamber. It is already clear that it will not be the ruling ANO Party and Social Democrats, which will consequently have more trouble pushing their proposed legislation through the Senate. Voting ends at 2 p.m. on Saturday. ArcelorMittal, the world's largest steel producer, will sell its steel-making facilities in the Czech Republic, Romania, Macedonia and Italy to the British Liberty House, a spokesperson for ArcelorMittal confirmed on Friday. The sales deal is part of an agreement with the European Commission related to ArcelorMittal's acquisition of Italian steelmaker Ilva. The acquisition price has not been made public. Together, the companies have over 12,000 employees. A snake on the loose in a Kaufland store in Orlova in the Karviná region has been captured and the store has reopened to the public. The store had been closed since Tuesday when the snake appeared on security cameras on the premises. Vets were unable to identify it from the pictures available and set thermal traps in different parts of the store. The reptile, which turned out to be a harmless grass snake, was captured on Friday. It is the second snake scare in the country this month. Recently, a green mamba escaped in Prague after biting its owner, but it too was eventually captured in a nearby garden. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Saturday should be bright and sunny around the country with day temperatures between 19 and 23 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Still to come in the program, why are there so few Roma politicians in the Czech Republic? And a brown bear causes a stir in the Beskydy Mountains. Later on in the show, the Czech Technical University shows off the achievements of its Formula student race teams. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Where is Whereas in 1990 there were 8 Roma MPs in the Czechoslovak parliament, today there are none, and candidates who belong to the minority have not had much success in the recent communal elections either. Although individual cases of success exist, they are extremely rare. Reasons behind the lack of Roma representation in politics include negative connotations with the minority among majority voters, a lack of popular candidates, and low election participating among members of the Roma minority themselves. Tom McEncrow reports.
In November 1989, Emil Ščuka, one of the foremost Roma activists, delivered a speech on Prague's Letna Plain, which is quite reminiscent of Martin Luther King, saying that he wanted our children and your children to be like brothers and sisters. At first, the hopefulness seemed to be justified, as 8 Roma candidates succeeded in the parliamentary elections a few months later, running on the list of the Civic Forum. Since then, however, the number of Roma MPs has been steadily dwindling, with no member of the community currently in the state's highest legislative body. The situation in communal politics is only slightly better. Patrick Banga, who is a member of the Roma community and has written about the problems of Roma representation in politics before, has a diagnosis for this lack of representation.
There is a whole range of reasons. The main reason is that the Roma themselves just do not vote and do not support their candidates. Furthermore, candidates from the Roma community are hardly represented on the lists of large parties. Right now, representatives from this minority regularly only appear on the candidate lists of the Christian Democrats and the Green Party, but the large electable parties hardly list them because there is neither the support from the majority of the population nor from Roma voters themselves.
Sociologist Ivan Gabal is more optimistic. He says that there is an increasing number of significant Roma personalities.
I think we can slowly start to expect the appearance of a personality that will want to enter politics. What is extremely important is how the other political parties will react to this, if they will grab this opportunity and channel it into a shift forward. After 20 years, we're at a place where the Roma community is again able to generate strong personalities that will flourish.
Mr. Banga agrees that it is up to political parties to place more representatives from the Roma community on their candidate lists and sees the communal elections as an ideal opportunity. However, he's much more sceptical. The word Roma, according to him, has become a tagline which people automatically associate with unconforming parasites.
Romové se často nedostanou na kandidátky už jen proto.
The Roma often just do not get on the candidate list simply because there is the threat of losing voters, because nobody wants to support the Roma. So that is one of the reasons. As soon as you have this tagline, not only are the Roma not motivated, but also political parties are scared of losing voters.
That report by Tom McEncrow. Now, for several weeks, a brown bear has been roaming the mountain region of Valašsko, located in the easternmost part of Moravia near the Slovak border, approaching villages and attacking sheep at remote farms. Environmentalists are now trying to trace the animal and chase it away from people's dwellings. Ruth Frankova has the details.
Over the past 2 weeks, the bear, an approximately 4-year-old male weighing around 100 kilos, covered a vast territory stretching along the Slovak border, overcoming a busy road, a railway line, as well as the river Bečva on its way. Although the occurrence of brown bears is not unusual in the region, they usually tend to stay deep in the forests away from people, explains František Šulgan from the Beskydy Protected Landscape Area.
Since 1973, we've always registered some occurrence of bears in the Beskydy Mountains. Most of them live on the other side of the border in the national park of Malá Fatra in Slovakia. But they tend to push the young ones and the females with cubs away from their territory across Kisuce to Beskydy in the Czech Republic. We've been monitoring a larger bear, which weighs around 150 kilos, roaming the forests along the Czech-Slovak border, but it hasn't been causing any problems yet. But this particular bear, a very young one, is quite daring. It moves relatively fast from one village to another, and that is rather unusual.
Since the beginning of September, when the bear first strayed to the Valašsko region, it has already caused considerable damage to property, killing 9 sheep and 2 goats, destroying 6 beehives and breaking fences in remote farms. According to Mr. Shulgan, the animal has apparently lost its natural fear of people, which makes it potentially dangerous. Nature protectionists are hoping that with the onset of cold weather, the animal will withdraw to the forests. But in case it doesn't, they will need to take steps to chase it away. And in case that doesn't work either, set a trap to catch the animal and place it in captivity. Killing the protected animal would only be the very last resort, Mr. Shulgan says. Environmentalists from the Beskydy Protected Landscape Area have already advised local farmers on how to safeguard their property. And although the animal has not attacked any human beings, they advise people to remain cautious in case they encounter the bear. František Šulgan again.
The main rule is to keep calm and not start running. In this case, the bear was after honey, but when it broke through a fence and saw the sheep running away, he instinctively killed them, although he didn't touch the meat. So he is really quite unpredictable, and we definitely advise people to stay cautious.
A similar case was last registered in the Beskydy Mountains in the year 2000. A bear, which had been stealing sheep, rabbits and chicken from farms in the area, was eventually captured and placed in captivity.
Ruth Franková with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature. On Wednesday, the Czech Technical University held a press conference as well as a motor show, presenting both the achievements of its Formula student race teams as well as the cars themselves. The university has been part of the worldwide competition for nearly 10 years, and its race teams are made up of some of its most successful students. Tom McEncrow went to the university in order to find out more about the teams and their vehicles.
During the 1980s, a competition was established by a number of US universities which pitted various student race car teams against each other. These were made up mainly from automotive and motorcycle enthusiasts pursuing engineering degrees. Each team was responsible for creating their own Formula race car, and the prototypes then entered a competition where they raced each other to see whose vehicle was best. This idea came to Europe in 1998, where competitions between students from dozens of European universities have taken place at the end of each academic year since then. The Czech Technical University in Prague joined the competition with its first vehicle in 2009, made by its first team called CTU CarTech. 2 years later, the university's Faculty of Electrical Engineering brought in its own team called eForce FEE Prague Formula. Both now compete in the country with other Czech universities, but they also compete abroad in tournaments ranging from Estonia, Hungary, Italy, Spain and more. On Wednesday, the university held a press conference in which the vehicles as well as the accomplishments of both teams in the past season were presented. Although both placed on podium spots in some tournaments, the eForce team came out on top this year. Professor Pavel Rybka, who is the Dean of the Faculty of Electrical Engineering, stressed that the work produced by the two teams is the highlight of the university's engineering capabilities.
While other teams buy ready-made modules and put them together, our students make all the components more or less from scratch, which also leads them to better understand how these things work. It is starting to show that our race teams are better than our research teams, which we're so proud of. These students have beaten the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which our research teams, of course, are still quite far away from. There are other very successful student projects, but the student formula teams are the cream of the crop.
The younger of the two teams, eForce, seems to have had a better season. winning first place both in the Czech Republic and Estonia. Kartek finished third in the Czech Republic, and fared worse Europe-wide. However, it did perform quite strongly in one discipline, acceleration, grabbing second place in the international competition in Spain. After the main presentation was over, I took the opportunity to speak to the students who presented. Philip Tomáš is the man responsible for Kartek's chassis and composite parts. He is just about to finish his master's degree in motor vehicles and hopes to move on into motorsport-oriented production professionally. I asked him which feature of the car this year he was most proud of.
I'd say either the customization of the powertrain, mostly the lower part, as is the lubrication system and the dry sump system. It is a step which was taken last year as this big step, which meant a bigger change. But this year we've really made it work very well with no problems. Last year we were always looking through whether it's working properly. This year it was working perfectly.
What are you looking to improve the most coming into the next season?
Mostly I think the overall understanding and use of vehicle dynamics, and also changes in suspension, the correlation between aerodynamics and tires, management of proper temperatures, and also to have the car more reliable than last year or this year.
What do you think is the greatest benefit of having these competitions and these car constructions within the university for students?
You get to work with technologies, materials, which aren't even the norm in industry in Czech Republic. So let's say we have been using rapid prototyping of metal parts and topology optimization since the year 2014. And as of, let's say, 2017, it has become somewhat of a norm that these machines exist and this technology exists. And you still meet people who are absolutely flabbergasted by this technology. They cannot believe that this is something that this exists, and we have been using these for so many years before. And as was said at the conference, you get to meet so many people, like-minded people. You go to a competition and there are thousands of students who really have the same problems as you every day of the year, and then you get to meet them and talk with them throughout the competition in the summer.
Another student, Marek Šeles, who headed the successful business group within the university's other team, eForce, believes that these race car projects can contribute to Czech automobile development in the research and development sphere.
The people that, or the students that take part in this project, are in the end the elite of that this already elite university can offer, because they get hands-on experience with the most recent technology that is. And for example, we've had one team member that has left, I think, 2 years ago. So he was one of the founding members of this team. And he went on to Skoda, the Czech automobile manufacturer, to work on an electric drive for their upcoming car that is probably coming in the future. And when they showed him what they had, the state-of-the-art battery pack that they prepared, he said, well, that's nice, but we've had that on the Formula 2 years ago. So in many ways, the formula that we build is actually ahead of the industry, and we can actually test out technologies on the races in extreme conditions that it would be very costly for the manufacturers to test out, because they would have to manufacture it in, you know, very large quantities and for a lot of money, which we don't need to care about that much.
You mentioned you were responsible for the business side, and if I recall correctly, the business side was the most successful part, or at least I've seen so many first places. How important is the business presentation, the business side of this formula construction? Because obviously one thinks, you know, it's just about constructing the best car, but why is it important to have a good business presentation?
Maybe to give a little bit of background, every race has 1,000 points that they distribute between the teams. And 700 of these points are for dynamic disciplines, or the disciplines where the car actually goes, such as acceleration and the race itself. Whereas the remaining 300 are for static disciplines, which are, for example, the business plan, engineering design, etc., etc. Out of these 300 static points, The business plan accounts for 75 points out of the total of 1,000. So it's not much, but it also affects the other parts of the formula, how you present, how it's designed, and how the team works, because you also have the management part. And if you manage a team correctly, even with little resources, as we have shown, you can reach great successes. Whereas if you have a very nice budget but bad management, you're not going to fare very well.
Do the guys who drive the car, are they professional racers?
No, actually, the drivers that are racing our formulas have to be students. So they are part of the team and they are actually building the formulas with us.
If there is a tip you could give to someone starting this competition, an engineer, what would it be?
One thing I would say is definitely to focus also on the management side, because it's not just a technical competition. In the end, you have to deliver, and to deliver a technical product, you need to be well coordinated. And other than that, it would be, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because mistakes are what actually progresses you forward. It's how you learn, and it is how you can iterate and make the best formula you can in the end.
Building a Formula race car is, of course, no cheap matter, and sponsors need to be continually acquired. The team and their vehicles therefore travel to various roadshows and exhibitions throughout the year to find new sponsors and bolster their public relations. Loyal sponsors of the team get a visit to their headquarters, where they can apparently also try to drive some of the models. As soon as I walked out of the university building, I was met both with an almost spaceship-like silent rumble as well as the more familiar roar of a petrol engine, as both the team's electric and fuel-based Formula race cars were presenting themselves to the public. Next to the racetrack, another Czech Technical University team was showing off their wares. This time, though, they were motorbikes. I approached a proud-looking man who was standing in the motorcycle tent and coordinating his students.
So my name is Petr Buchner. I'm a head of department of vehicles at the Faculty of Transportation Sciences of Czech Technical University in Prague. And this is actually a team basically of students of Faculty of Transportation, but also part of them are from Faculty of Electro Engineering and part of Mechanical Engineering, which helped us and contributed to the design and manufacturing creation of this Formula motorcycles. These two vehicles were built and raced in the scope of the Moto Student World Competition, which final event is held in Alcañiz in Spain. And I must say, and I'm very proud on that, that we finished, especially with the electric version, fully electric motorcycle, at 9th place in final race out of 27 worldwide university teams.
Okay, so this is a different competition to the Formula. Is there anything that the teams cooperate in, or is this completely separate?
Moto Student Competition is a little younger than Formula Student. But on the other hand, it is compatible with Moto 3 World Championship. So these motorcycles are racing on the real GP circuit, the final event. So it requires almost similar or very similar equipment as in the professional motorsport.
Do you have any professional motorcycle teams cooperating with you, or do you hope to have that in the future?
We hope in future to get especially not only for the motorcycle itself, but as a part of the electromobility project promoted over the Europe nowadays and very popular, to help us and to cooperate with us with development of especially the electric bike, because it's quite sexy and it's novel, and we can involve a lot of novel technologies which are also a part of evaluation of the whole competition, because it's not only about racing. The racing is a cherry pick. The students through all 2-year period had to pass subsequently tests. They have to provide reports to the committee, and they are evaluated for them. And also the final event is composed of 6-day tests, which only the last one is the racing itself.
Standing next to Mr. Bochner was a student called Ptemek Toman, the team leader of the motor student team in Prague called CT Lions. He's also from the Faculty of Transportation Sciences and apparently proud of it. He keenly showed me the motorbike he and his team had built.
We worked on a whole frame, on the fairings, you can see. We finished our fairings just before the race, the night before we were laminating, or how to say it in English.
That's just the same word,
laminating. So my stuff was to bring it into the life, so do the exhaust, make all the electricity, the wirings, and my colleague here is the father of the frame and of the rear suspension, front suspension, and so on. It's written here.
So, oh yeah, wow.
That's him, actually.
Cool.
And that's me, actually.
Is this your final season, or are you going to be in for next season as well?
I hope I will be in a team in the next season. Actually, the competition is in a 2-year circles, so every 2 years there is a race. So this is our second part. The first was in 2016, and I hope in 2020 we will be much better than this, than now.
What are you aiming for in 2020?
Actually, at least to finish the final race with both bikes. But then the season before we finished just the trainings and the Gymkhana test, but not the race. This year we finished with the electricity bike, but we had to stop in the second round in the final race with the petrol. So I hope in the next season we will finish the races and everything without problems.
Whether Mr. Toman succeeds next season, we shall have to see. One thing seems certain, however. Participating in the Czech Technical University's project is likely to get him and his team ahead in the job race.
Tom McEncrow with that report, and I'm afraid that's all from us for now. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And of course, you can always follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.